Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, thank you to Bill Shakin from the LA Times. Just a quick reminder, we're going to do our high school standout coming up at 7:45. Brady Cates, Palisades High School, Pali High, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. So when I mentioned this yesterday, and I thought this was – I don't want it to go as it wasn't a big deal, because I definitely think it was a big deal. It was announced that the Rams and the Chargers would be a part of that HBO Hard Knocks. And I don't know if you guys have got a chance to watch Hard Knocks over the years, but, man, what an unbelievable way to get to know a team on a personal basis, right? And for football, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that football has. One of the challenges they have is this guy's got their helmets on. Yes, we know who Tom Brady is. We know who the big guns are, Drew Brees. But there are so many other personalities, and it could include the coaching staff. It could include the trainers. It could include players on defense. It could linemen, whatever the case is. And I think Hard Knocks does an outstanding job highlighting that. The question is, we don't know if we're going to have a training camp this year. We don't know what the deal is going to be, but the Chargers and the Rams, I think it's especially important for the Chargers, just because there's no buzz around the Chargers, or at least the Rams. There's, you know, some big time names. There's a coach that's everybody knows in Sean McVay. He's got already a great personality, one of the youngest coaches in the NFL. So I think there's Jared Goff, there's storylines behind. So I think there's some players on there that you're familiar with, but nothing for the Chargers. So if that happens, fantastic. But the reality is, by far the biggest story in football this season, it's going to be this dynamic of Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots and how the Patriots are going to do without Brady, how Belichick is going to do without that quarterback that together they won 6 Super Bowls. And then the question is going to be, here's Tom Brady. For the first time, he's no longer with one of the best machines when it comes to a franchise. They do it their way. They don't care what you're doing. And let's not, whether you like the Patriots or you don't, you respect that they've been so successful over the years. That's going to be the biggest storyline. And earlier today, Tom Brady hopped on the Howard Stern show. It was actually this morning. And a couple of things stand out to me. I want to play one of the clips here. Why Tom Brady thought it was time to move on.
I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. And I tried to, I knew that, you know, it was just our time was, you know, our time was coming to an end. I never cared about legacy. I mean, I could give a about. I never once when I was in high school said, man, I can't wait for what my football legacy looks like. I mean, that's a very, it's just not me. That's not my personality. So why would I choose a different place? It's because it was just time. I don't know what to say other than that. Like, I had done everything. I accomplished everything I could in 2 decades with an incredible organization, incredible group of people, and that will never change. And no one can ever take that away from me. No one can ever take those experience or Super Bowl championships away from us. I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
I love this from both sides. What more were they supposed to do together? You know, I think, by the way, if Tom Brady goes on in the next 2 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and doesn't win anything and doesn't make the playoffs, okay, it's all good. He's still going to be arguably the – I don't think you can make an argument. He's the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. That's – it doesn't matter what Tom Brady does after this. Now, if he goes on and he makes the playoffs and has a deep run, or could you believe if they won a Super Bowl, something along those lines, okay, then that's a completely different level. But I love how he says it was just time to move on. You just know. And I think if you're Bill Belichick, and this has kind of been the Belichick way and the Patriot way, they don't shy away from getting rid of players. They don't shy away when it's time to pay. Usually what they do is, okay, let's crop somebody else into our system. I mean, that's how the Patriots have been so successful. So I think this is kind of a perfect breakup, if that's what you want to call it. There's nothing left to accomplish. They did everything they were supposed to do. And they did it in an incredibly, incredibly efficient way that got them 6 Super Bowls. Tom Brady appreciating everything, all the time that he had with Belichick.
again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Right.
So the fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same vice versa as well. To have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me because we've expressed that to each other.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life? In other words?
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. And, you know, there's things, there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do that aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
You know, one thing on that. So, first of all, I love the it was kind of not random, of course, the Howard Stern show. That's as big as it gets. But it was a little surprised that that's the platform that he went on. You know, you'd have thought, okay, he's going to hop on First Take or one of these other shows, but does it on the Howard Stern show. But I thought Brady, he doesn't sound like somebody that was unsure of his decision, right? He doesn't sound like he's overthinking anything. Like, he sounds extremely comfortable with, I'm good. Let Belichick now go do his thing. And there's going to be times when Tom Brady retires and he goes back to Gillette Stadium and everyone will give him a standing go. And, you know, I think most would say that he's the GOAT when it comes to quarterbacks in the league. But that will all come. And I know it's going to be weird seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers jersey, but I got to be honest, I was rooting for him to get out of New England. Like, I thought the storyline would be very interesting to see him somewhere else. I have more faith that the Patriots are going to still continue their Patriot way than I think Tom Brady is going to lead. We had this conversation, me and Kirk Morrison, right before this happened, or right as it happened, 2+ weeks ago or so. And Kirk and I were talking about it. I was like, yeah, I have more faith that the Patriots would get to would have a better record and get to the playoffs than I would the Buccaneers. But that's just because it all revolves around the Patriots. Former NFL head coach and NFL analyst Rex Ryan was on Get Up. Here's his thoughts on the coach and the quarterback moving on.
No, it doesn't surprise me, Greeny. And when I look at it is, look, this was, and it seems crazy, but this was the perfect marriage between a quarterback and a coach. And this doesn't feel like a divorce. It feels like a separation, because at the end of the day, they're coming back together and Brady will retire a Patriot and he'll be there with Belichick. So to me, you have 20 years. These two accomplished something no other combination has ever accomplished and never will, in my opinion. So to me, they're spectacular together. We're going to see how they are apart. I think they're both going to be successful. I think Brady, in my opinion, is going to have more success early. Because I don't think that roster in New England is very good. But Belichick is a great coach. You know, I just think that this is a year they take a step back. But Brady and Belichick, to me, will always be linked together, regardless of the success that Brady has moving forward or Belichick has moving forward.
That's I will say, I'm excited about a lot of different things if football gets going in September, or if it's later than that, or everything goes as planned. But you know, I mentioned the Hard Knocks thing I'm looking forward to. Just Rams getting another opportunity. They didn't make the playoffs last year. We'll see what the Chargers could do. SoFi Stadium. There's a long laundry list of things I'm excited about for the NFL. But this storyline will be the most watched. How Belichick does without Brady. How Brady does without Belichick. All right, speaking of Brady. Brady Cates, high school standout athlete. Pally High. He's coming up next. We're going to continue to do this. We've done it. We're going to do it all this week. We're going to do it all next week as well. It's great to kind of highlight these high school athletes out there, and we're going to do that coming up next with Brady Cates. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. As we've kind of been saying, we're doing the senior shout-out. So all this week on 710 ESPN, we're shouting out senior students and giving them a senior spotlight on air. Tonight, we have Brady Cates from Palisades High School, plays second base for the for Pally High. You still have time, by the way, to nominate a classmate or yourself. Email the station. Look how easy this is if you got a senior out there or you want to vote for yourself. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your name, school, and sport you play, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 senior shout out. Brady Cates, my friend, thank you for coming on. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Doing okay. Doing all right. All right. So this is what I know so far. I think you wanted a little bit of a shout out to the whole team here. All right. So Myles Kirshner is your guys' pitcher. You obviously play second base. Julian Jacobson is your catcher. Julian Scissors is your shortstop. Cord VanLeet, center field, and your coach, Mike Volkel. Tell us a little bit about just kind of your high school and your experiences playing with the guys and, you know, obviously what stands out most to you.
Yeah, so Pali Baseball is definitely an elite program in the SoCal area. Me personally, I came into the program my sophomore year. I didn't make the team my freshman year, and you know, I just kept fighting and eventually worked my way onto the team, and it's really been the best 3 years of my life. You know, being with the team, my teammates, I love them all, and going to the field was really my happy place.
What's that kind of taught you too? So you don't make it your freshman year. Did you just kind of have a chip on your shoulder? Like, all right, I got it. I have to be a part of this baseball team moving forward. And then once you did make it, and now obviously, you know, playing up until your senior year, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had that chip on my shoulder. I'm proud of myself for everything that I've accomplished, especially the team. You know, last year we made it to Dodger Stadium, which was the first time since the 80s, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
And, right. And, you know, I'm just really proud of everything we've accomplished.
Brad, what was that like playing at Dodger Stadium?
It was surreal. It was crazy. you know, we drove into that parking lot and, walked into the field. And the thing that really stood out was the grass is just so nice.
Perfect.
Like how the Pali field, like we take pride in our field because we work so hard on it. And it's amazing. And then that Dodger Stadium grass, man, I mean, it's something else.
Your favorite all-time athlete? Who's your favorite athlete?
You know, it's tough. I think it's cliche, but I got to go with Braun just because, you know, I'm a Cleveland guy. And he brought us the ship that 1 year. And to me, there's really been nothing better than that 3-1 comeback.
Okay, so you're a big LeBron fan. I got to imagine you were rooting for the Lakers. And hopefully, if they get a chance to play out this year, is that something you want to see? You want to see LeBron win another championship, his fourth chip?
Well, you know, first of all, I am Cleveland for life. I'm not a LeBron guy. So when he went to Miami, you know, I was definitely not a fan of him.
You were rooting against? Okay. Hey, yeah, listen. Look, Laker fans can relate to this because I loved Shaq. And the moment Shaq went to Miami, I was like, okay, well, I hope he loses, you know, because it's about the jersey. It's not, you know, it's not just about the player.
Right. So, I mean, if the Cavs were in it, of course I would say Cavs, but I mean, I think I'm rooting for the Lakers at this point.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, look, Brady, wish you the best of luck, buddy. I know it's tough for a lot of you guys, all you high school athletes that were right in the middle of your senior year. And I think you got a great perspective on this. I think, you know, it's actually kind of interesting when you say that right when, doesn't matter what was going on, right when you stepped on the field or you're in the dugout with your buddies, you forgot about everything. I think that's how sports is for a lot of people. You know what I mean? So I think you've got the right perspective, and I'm sure once you get into college, you're going to have great experiences when you're there, and congratulations on being one of the senior shout-outs. All right, buddy?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Brady Cates right there. Pally High. Shouted out all his teammates. But that's just fantastic. And it's so interesting to like hear from these kids, man. I mentioned this yesterday. It's kind of crazy, but I graduated high school 20 years ago, right? 2000 is when I graduated. And to think my senior year just abruptly, right, was just going to get cut just like that. Okay, maybe if it was your sophomore year, it was your junior year. You're like, okay, well, I'm going back to high school. You know, I'm going to go back. But this is kind of how their year is going to be remembered, right? This is how their high school is going to be remembered. They're not going to get those last couple of months in high school where if they were on the sports side of things, They want to play sports. That's all they care about. That's really what they want to do. Or even just from a friend perspective, it's like everything just kind of got turned off. And I know you could still hang out with your buddies and everything else, but you know, Curtis, Jess, think about that. That was, listen, we got a lot of crazy things going on in the world right now. So I'm not, there's so many important things there, but just looking at it from a high school perspective, Jess, can you imagine that senior year, like how special that senior year was? And then all of a sudden it was just like, nope, your senior year is done.
I remember my senior year. I'm here. We're good.
Yeah. Right.
I remember my senior year. It was, you know, looking back, I had a great time. You know, you don't think that when you're going through, you know, all the highs and lows all hit you at once. And just for someone to stop randomly, by the way, next week we're gonna do everything. Like, no, it's just like one day we were at school, and the next day, just don't come, stay home.
Not gonna lie.
Sudden, it's just like a big shock. Like, I can't imagine what anyone's going through.
Not gonna lie. Like, this week has been kind of. I was curious to see how some of the senior shout out stuff would go, but I love all these high school kids that we're bringing on. They all got cool, unique perspectives, and it's obviously great to have them on. So I appreciate Brady Cates dropping on the show. Okay, we got halftime coming up next. I also just want a quick shout out here and just a quick heads up. Jason Jones from The Athletic, he'll come on about 8:30. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here, Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, show is moving along. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Just a quick reminder again. So tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 10, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, all local. Sedano after that, 10 to noon. Will Kane, Mason, and Ireland, I'll hop on at 6. Do a little crosstalk. We'll do Sliwa Show rest of the week as well. Okay, let's get some halftime started. Jesse, take it over, my friend.
Just kidding. That you thought I was disconnecting there.
We're live on the radio.
No, I really can't hear you. We're live.
We're live on the radio.
All right, you know what? We're just gonna do this live.
Okay, let's roll. Live. Let's roll. Curtis, what's happening over there?
My connection is all spotty.
I am not touching anything.
I hear him. Everything sounds good. Can you hear us, Jess? Okay. We'll just keep going. Curtis, you and I are going to do a little halftime right here. Jess, you just hop in whenever you're ready. Curtis, I'm going to come to you on something. So I'm going to do a game with you and Jess when we get Jess back. You think you're back?
I think I'm back.
Okay, no? Go ahead. Jump right into it. We could hear you, bud. We could hear you.
Okay, perfect. So now that I am back, we are good. Yep. Yesterday, we briefly talked about Kevin Garnett. We talked about how he called the T-Wolves owner a snake.
Yes.
And, you know, we were with a handshake agreement to bring KG to the Lakers. It was for a trade that involved Bynum and Lamar Odom at the time. But mm-hmm. that kind of got me thinking, if KG wound up with the Lakers, we yep. probably would have never gotten Paul Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and thinking of that hypothetical, Alan, what would you – if you had a chance to go back
yeah.
and make that trade and mm-hmm. it goes down, would you take that trade with KG and roll with KG and Kobe, or would you still, you know, bypass that trade and stick
and
with
stay
what we
with,
got with
and
Paul
stay
Gasol?
With Gasol? Okay, so let me say this about – let me say this mm-hmm. about KG real quick. So KG is as competitive of a power forward – By the way, as big of a competitor anybody in the NBA has ever been in the league, like, I loved KG's competitiveness on the floor. It just seemed like everything, nothing was more important than winning.
take that with Kobe Bryant and put those two together, take both of their mentalities, right? The great late Kobe Bryant, legend for the Los Angeles Lakers for 20 years, and all he cared about was winning. And take those two together and give them a run for 3-4 years, it would be an unbelievable duo. But I got to be honest, I don't know what it is about Pau Gasol. I got a piece of Pau Gasol in my heart. Like, I can't tell you how much I loved and appreciated Pau Gasol on this Los Angeles Lakers team. As good as he was on the court, he was even better off the court. I think he allowed Kobe Bryant to lead, and he wanted to follow, and he knew that his best shot at an NBA championship was going to be with Phil, and it was going to be with Kobe Bryant and some of the other vets the team had. As good as KG and Kobe could have been, I'll take Pau Gasol 10 times out of 10, and I just love Pau Gasol, and that's why the Lakers went to 3 NBA finals and had 2 NBA championships in the process. Love me some Pau.
I can't disagree with you.
Love me some Pau.
I 100% agree. There's just something about Gasol that was just like he instantly became like a Laker as soon as he came on the team, and he just gelled with Kobe perfectly. It was the yin to his yang. It was a combination you didn't think would ever work or think would ever happen. Like, who
or would take
Gasol
over like that, right? Like, and by the way, yeah. it wasn't just the Pau Gasol and Kobe. Like, Andrew Bynum played a big role. Lamar Odom was huge. Derek Fisher
definitely
was fantastic. Trevor Ariza in the first stint, and then Mehta in the second stint.
Oh,
but those were the two.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two. By the way, Curtis, I got a question for you. You mentioned that, you know, you really started watching basketball in that Pau and that Kobe kind of era. What did you think of would you have rather had KG in that predicament or Pau?
Pau all the way. I love Pau. I've loved Pau so much, and it's like the nicest
guy in the world.
Yeah, and it's even like towards the end of his career when all those, you know, his name came up a lot of times in those trade talks and stuff. It kind of made me sad. I was like, man, like,
I know.
I don't like this. And then even the kind of the way he left was kind of quick and sudden and kind of sad too. And it's just like, man, we kind of did him dirty, but
he deserved.
Well, I'll say this. I'll say that, you know, Lakers were kind of desperate to keep this kind of this thing rolling. But I'll say this: at the end of the day, when Pau Gasol, because it's going to happen, he's going to get his jersey retired at Staples Center, and he'll eventually enter into the Hall of Fame. And can you just imagine when he does go, when he gets his jersey hung up at Staples Center, hung up in the rafters? Like, I do think that there's going to be such a genuine appreciation from Laker fans. We just really haven't got a chance to see him much since he left, but I do think he'll have his day.
Yeah, so do I.
What I also loved about Pau. Real quick. Uh-huh. So
no, go ahead.
I don't know if it was just me. Every time he got kind of fouled, he would kind of just do that Pau yell every time.
Yeah,
like
time.
That was just something I remembered. I love Pau so much.
Yeah, Pau was in a soap opera sometimes during the games. It was very European of him, but but he was still the man, the absolute man.
He definitely was the man. Moving on, over the weekend, the NFL released their all-decade team. Alan, did you get a chance to look at that roster?
No, I haven't got a chance.
Kind of lineup?
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
So,
keep going.
There's, you know, a bunch of names. They had a couple of Rams. Obviously, of course, on the D-line, Aaron Donald is one of them, along with punter Johnny Hecker. But the debate was for the QB number two. We all know Tom Brady is the number one. They listed Aaron Rodgers on their all-decade team. And a lot of people on Twitter, I noticed, were kind of mad and saying,
yeah,
what
Morty,
is the love
yeah
for Drew Brees?
Oh, it's Drew Brees. Yeah, I think it should be Drew Brees.
You
no
think
question
it's Drew
about
Brees?
It. Yeah, I think it's Drew Brees. Oh, yeah.
Man. Why?
Yeah, Brees has broken, I mean, unbelievable records. You know, and I think records that it might be just kind of a likability as well. Like, you feel Drew Brees. Wait, actually, before I go any further here, when did Brees win his Super Bowl? It was in this decade, right? Yeah, it was in this
it
decade,
was
right?
It might have been at the very, very beginning. Because
if
think
he
it
did,
was
if,
in
he,
10 or 09.
Oh, it was 2010, so it does count, right? It was 2010.
It might have been 2010 or 09, or right around there, yeah.
Yeah, it was 2010, so it does count. I mean, listen, you obviously have to have a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers won it in 2011, so you obviously have to have that. No, I'm with him. By the way, you can make an argument both ways. Maybe it's just because I like Drew Brees more. I put Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, I didn't think there was a debate to have at all. I was going to tell you this is dumb. It's just 100% should be Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is just a different kind of quarterback. And while yes, Drew Brees, you know, he's one of the most like prolific quarterbacks in ever, just because of how much
How is it not a like? Just think about what you just said, because right?
Aaron
like,
Rodgers,
he's such a prolific
career. We're talking about the decades, and in 2010, Rodgers definitely was a different kind of quarterback than Drew Brees.
You're saying
Drew Brees may have broken
right?
all the records.
2011.
Well, I mean, he has two Super Bowl MVPs, and just look at this past season. The Packers were the number two seed. Who else on that Packers roster can you name besides Aaron Rodgers? Tell me all the offensive players you can name on the Saints with Drew Brees.
Yeah, but that's not the conversation is about the last 10 years. The last 10 years. I think if you want to make the argument for Aaron Rodgers, that's fine. But to make a case like Drew Brees doesn't even belong in the conversation, that's not the right way to look at it. I mean, Drew Brees is
that's
like
not what
as,
I'm saying.
But do you see what I'm saying? Like he's as if it's a debate and a conversation, it's still a conversation you can have. Like it is, I don't know, if I'm making comparisons between I'm not trying to think of somebody that's won as many championships as, you know, Kobe and Magic and LeBron. Like I'm trying to think of somebody who's won less because they've won each five. But I think you can make an argument. Let's say KG with another player that won one championship.
Like
I'm trying to
Dirk won two.
Yeah,
right?
You could no. Dirk's that's actually a good example. Dirk and Kevin Garnett. That's actually as good of an example as you could have. Both guys have one. The point that I'm saying is that it's not absurd to pick either one. You know what I mean? Like it's not out of the realm for people to get upset that Drew Brees wasn't part of that all decade. That's not crazy. What would have been crazy is if you had, I don't know, Andrew Luck in there or something like that, or a quarterback that was around Matt Ryan. You know, those don't belong there. But those two, definitely the elite of the elite.
All right. I'm going to leave that at conversation because I honestly thought you would have been like Rodgers just because of the Rodgers, a different kind of quarterback. But at the same time, I've always loved Aaron Rodgers. I was sad that the 49ers didn't draft him that one year where they chose Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to turn it over to Curtis, who actually has a game for us. He promised us the game
Atta
last
baby,
week.
Curtis.
And he delivered. He brought a game in for us today.
Yeah, you challenged me, so I was ready yesterday.
Go work, Curtis.
But obviously, things happen, so I'm ready to go if you guys are ready to go.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
All right, so it's not going to be time-based because Jesse's on a delay. So,
okay.
So it'll be we'll do best out of five.
How dare you?
Well, no, I just mean so it's fair on all sides. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I get you.
So I was really bored over the weekend, and I started looking up weird city names. Have you ever done that? Just gotten lost on the internet, started looking up stuff like that.
Yes.
So I have a list of city names in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you four names of cities, and three are cities. One is fake, and you guys
okay.
have to find the fake one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
This is very Ireland-esque.
That's okay.
So, all right. You guys ready for the first one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so accident. That's the first city. Unalaska.
Okay. Unalaska.
Unalaska. That's the second
okay.
one. Latte is the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one, burnt porcupine. Which one's the fake one?
So, accident, Unalaska, latte, and burnt porcupine.
Yep.
One of these is fake.
One is not a city in the U.S. The other three are.
Oh, all right,
I think
man.
I got one. I'll just take a random guess.
All right, go Jess, first, Alan.
Jess, you got
go
yours
it,
or no? Okay, I'm going to go accident is not a city.
All right, Jess, what's yours?
I'm going to go latte.
All right, Alan, you're behind one. It is latte. Latte is the one of those four.
Oh!
Latte is the non-city.
Do you ever do that, by the way, where, and I think this happens on Fast Track all the time, you just completely outmaneuver yourself, right?
You're overthink
okay, well,
it. You psych yourself out all the time.
If latte is on there, then, of course, that's going to be one. Okay. So let's go. 0 for 1 to start things off.
All right, number 2. Coupon. That's the first city.
Okay.
Batman is the second one.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Y, W-H-Y, and chicken. Which one of those is the fake city?
Okay, so why Batman?
Like why
chicken?
Would they name this that? Why?
Why Batman, chicken, and what's the other one?
Coupon.
Why Batman, chicken, and coupon?
I brought it.
All right, you know what? I'll go first this time.
All right, let's go.
And I'm going to say it's coupon, and here's a little thing. People always pronounce it as coupon. That's my thing.
Or if you're Hispanic, coupon. But yeah.
Si, senor.
All right, Alan, what's your guess?
I'll go with chicken. I'll go with chicken.
All right, you're both wrong. The fake city is Batman.
I thought
so
that
there's a city called Y, but there's not a city named Batman.
Okay, how many of these?
Where's the state that this Batman's in? I got to know that.
That's the fake one.
That's the fake one. That's not the one.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is, how many of these do you have?
Five.
So I got a chance to come back? Okay.
Best of five. Here. It's yep. Alan 0, Jess 1. So here's mm-hmm. the third one. First city is I'm Alone.
Okay. Interesting.
Second city, Sandwich. Third city, Balloon. And fourth city, Alan. Which one's the fake city?
Sandwich, man. I'm Alone, Alan, and what was the
Balloon.
Other one? Balloon. I'm going to go, gosh dang it. I'm going to go Sandwich.
All right, what are you going to say, Jess?
I'm going to go, my brain is telling me I'm alone, but my guts is telling me Balloon. So I'm going to go with Balloon.
Jess has got another one. It's Balloon.
Oh! What? Always go with the gut.
Balloon is okay, the fake city.
So the best I could do here is tie.
Well, right, you're 0 for 2. If you want, we can do you need to get this next one, and then the last one will be 2. So you're okay. Still in it, but you got to get the next 2 to win.
All right, let's keep going here. Go ahead.
All right. Santa Claus, that's the first city.
Okay.
In honor of John Ireland, why not is the second city. Third city, Corn Dog. And the fourth, Ding Dong. Which one's the fake city?
So why not Ding Dong, Santa Claus, and what was the third one? Or the fourth one?
Corn Dog.
Corn Dog. All right. Why not? I'm going to go with Ding Dong.
All right. Where are you going to go, Alan? What are you going to pick? You got to get it right to keep going.
Don't overthink it.
I'm going to go with why not.
Oh, you're both wrong. Corn Dog is the fake city.
Corn Dog.
There's a city,
Corn
Why Dog Not? Why Not in North Carolina. So shout outs to Why Not in North Carolina.
So okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this the right way. I lost. Right. No, I lost.
Last one's for pride.
Go ahead.
So first city, Boring. Second city, Ketchup Town.
Uh-huh.
Third city, Satan's Kingdom. Fourth city, Maria. Which one's the fake city?
I'll go Satan's Kingdom.
All right, Jess.
I'm going to go with Ketchup Town.
And you're both wrong. Those are cities. The fake one was Maria.
Maria, Maria.
Alan 0, Jess 2. All
right, unbelievable. Okay.
And Alan, yesterday's game we had.
Shout out to Satan's Kingdom.
Punch. Saints Kingdom. This
is a game I got, but the thing is, it is a timing thing. So you're going to have to guess it. And this is what it is. It's sports nicknames. I'm going to give the nickname. You name the player. Your buzzer. Okay. Your name is your buzzer.
I won this game
got
yesterday.
Me, Curtis.
Punch being there. All right. I win this game tonight.
Do it.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? The big unit.
Jesse.
Go ahead.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson. Curtis, you know Randy Johnson? You know who Randy Johnson
is,
right?
I didn't know the nickname,
though. Okay. Oh, the big unit. Just a freaking
stud back in the days. Okay, ready?
Yep.
The mailman.
Jesse.
What you got, Jess?
Karl Malone.
Yeah, it's Karl Malone.
Curtis, the mailman. The mailman. You got to know the mailman.
Jesse
okay.
beat me.
2-0
beat me
right
delay.
Now. 2-0 right now. Okay, ready?
I'm pulling an Allen.
Right.
The answer.
Oh, Curtis.
Jesse.
Curtis.
Allen Iverson.
Okay, 2-1. Keep rolling here. Beast mode.
Curtis.
Jesse.
Curtis, what do you got?
Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
Throw them Skittles.
2-2, fellas. Last one. Ready? Ready?
Let's go.
The delay's going to mess me up on this one. I already know it.
The glove.
Jesse. Oh!
What do you got, Jess?
Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, that's it. 3-2, fellas. 3-2. Came
right.
through a clutch. Got that last one.
Well earned.
Got that last
well
one.
Earned.
That
got that last one there.
Pump fake. Spin, pivot,
that's
jump
right. That's right. That's right. Okay, Jess, right. You got another one?
I got one more. One last one.
Look at the world, guys. Just real quick. Let me just set this up. Look at the world we're in right now. We are playing games on cities and nicknames. And here's the thing about it. This is the comical part about it. Like, you know, what else are we going to do? And you guys know, probably out of all the shows on the station, you know, I probably do the least of the games and I focus on as much sports as possible. But how crazy is this? We're still, it was the last game Lakers played. Wasn't it March 11th, I think?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I'm pretty sure it was 4 weeks ago today. 5 weeks ago today. 5 weeks.
And we have no idea when we're getting back. You know what I mean? Like, that's the reality of it, but it's all good. We'll keep trying to. I mean, listen, I'm always going to focus a lot on the content part of it, but to play some of these games in between, it's kind of a nice mix here. Okay, let's do the last one, Jess.
All right, so over the weekend, I watched Bohemian Rhapsody again. It wasn't my first time watching it. I watched it again, but it just reminded me of how much of a good movie that movie is and how much I just love, you know, those biopic movies that are based on musicians. Bohemian Rhapsody, Straight Outta Compton, Selena, anything for Selena. So I just want to ask you, what's like your favorite biopic movie?
Curtis, you got one?
No, I'm trying to think of one. Like a really good one. I'm trying to think of one.
So, you know, just a couple of them that come to mind. Eight Mile is kind of one.
I mentioned this a little bit earlier. Ali is one of my favorite movies, period. Okay. Malcolm X is another really, really good one. What's another good one out there?
You got Get On Up. Ray.
Here's another good one.
What's Love?
Oh, yeah. Ray's a really good one. Social Network. That's a good one, too. That's kind of a biopic there. They're doing everything on Facebook.
Oh, what about the Remember Walk the Line? The Johnny Cash one? That was a movie. Is that considered a biopic?
Yeah, that was
a very good movie. I remember watching that and really enjoying it.
Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix as the man in black.
The Joker.
By the way, Denzel Washington as Malcolm X, I mean, that's as good as it gets, too. Like, that's actually, as I think about it, that's one of my favorite ones, my favorite biopic ones.
Awesome. Well, that's there you go. That's all we got for tonight.
All right, fellas, think of Curtis. Keep coming. Listen, keep coming back with these, okay? We need you. We need just one a night.
Did you like this game? Did you like this city's game?
You know what? I think this is going to be Mason's favorite new game.
I worked very hard on this.
You're going to hear it tomorrow on Fast Track.
Yeah, I know. You'll probably hear it. I'm gonna literally use these sports nicknames. I'm gonna put Mason and Ireland against each other tomorrow. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'm gonna do the character of a movie. I might do that with them tomorrow.
Do the movie one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do the movie one. They're more movie guys. Okay, what we got coming up next? I know I've promoted this a couple times so far in the show, and I'll continue to do it. Jason Jones of The Athletic, he'll come up at 8:30. And also when we come back, just want to – there was a conversation that came up a little bit earlier, and it was on First Take about the Jordan brand versus LeBron brand. I want to get into that real quick. Let's do that coming up next day right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Okay, so I want to get into this real quick. Stephen A. Smith on First Take. It's kind of an interesting conversation, and these are the type of conversations that come up now. They're talking about LeBron's brand versus Jordan's brand. And, you know, look, these are two global icons, and nobody's going to ever touch what Michael Jordan and his shoe brand is. But this was a conversation having on First Take. Jay Williams was there, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, and Stephen A. Smith keeps talking about the global brand that Jordan has. Nobody can catch up to, but it's more than just where they are today. It's that LeBron James is just 35 years old.
But I would ask y'all to think about not sneakers. I would ask y'all to take a look at all the things that LeBron James is doing. LeBron James is trying to build his own media empire. LeBron James is producing movies and television shows. LeBron James got his hands in a multitude of arenas. If you're just thinking about sneakers, no, there's Jordan and everybody else. And I totally get that. But to look at LeBron James and the things that he's doing, knowing that he's only 35 years old, with what he has built and what he has established already and what he's venturing into, I think that there's a legitimate argument that could be made that potentially over the course of time, can Jordan be touched? Can Jordan be caught up to, particularly in this age of social media and beyond? Yes, I do.
All right. That's Stephen A. Smith right there. You know, it's what Jordan accomplished with his logo. Right. That I don't think any other player will ever be able to accomplish that. And by the way, Jordan has been successful off the court as well. He owns an NBA team. He's the first player to have majority ownership in a team in the NBA's history. So obviously what he's accomplished is amazing. But I think it was interesting what Stephen A. Smith was just mentioning right there. You guys know this about LeBron James. So LeBron has these Blaze Pizza franchises. Minority ownership in Liverpool, the soccer club. He has this Spring Hill Entertainment that he owns with Maverick Carter, and I'm sure there's others involved as well. TV shows they're creating, YouTube originals they're creating, HBO documentaries, Netflix specials. He owns Undisputed, which is a platform for athletes. It's much bigger. I mean, the guy's just 35 years old. I think a lot of people, when they talked about LeBron eventually come into the Los Angeles Lakers, or part of the reason why he came to LA is because he has all these business ventures. Well, kind of the beauty with LeBron is at age 35, we talk about from an NBA basketball perspective, I say, you know, I don't know how long this window is for LeBron. How can he still be a finals MVP player when he's 35? Well, that might sound old in NBA terms, but just in general in life, hell, I'm 37 years old, right? LeBron is so young for his life after basketball. He said himself, I hate when people try to compare. I don't want to hear the comparisons, even off the court, you know, with LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I think LeBron James, he's carving his own path. You know, this is what LBJ is doing right now on his own. He's not trying to be Michael Jordan. He's trying to just be LeBron James. There's no need for him to try to be anybody else. And I think, you know, when I kind of start highlighting all the things that he's been successful with off the basketball court, that's pretty damn impressive. You know what I think actually LeBron, where he can really differ himself from Michael Jordan when it comes to what LeBron eventually ends up doing, whatever that post-basketball career looks like. I wonder if LeBron will get into politics. You know, I could see someone like him getting into – Michael Jordan was so anti getting into any politics. He didn't want to get any of that politics stuff, where I feel like LeBron James, he's more open to it. He's more open to have some of those conversations. He's more open to give his opinion. If there's something that he doesn't like, he kind of puts his foot down on it. So I think that's what makes LeBron different than Michael Jordan in that perspective. No one will touch Michael Jordan when it comes to that global brand of the shoes. But I think there's other things that LeBron's doing that's kind of carving his own path. By the way, I put this poll up. You're starting a franchise, LeBron or Magic? If if you're starting a franchise right now, LeBron James or Magic Johnson, and I put this poll up before the show started, 62% LeBron James, 37.5% Magic Johnson. Jason Jones of The Athletic, he's coming up next, and he had an article just about Magic Johnson and that how he was Magic was his favorite player when he was growing up here in L.A. I want to ask him about the poll that I put up, and I think the conversation's interesting on Magic because I know for me, I related so much to his story of what Magic Johnson, how big he was when I was growing up to just want to – everything Magic Johnson was doing, you always wanted to watch. So we're going to talk a little Magic coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
All right, L.A., we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in, by the way, on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, Instagram, at Alan Sliwa. Want to welcome in Jason Jones from The Athletic. Jason, appreciate you hopping on the show, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing okay. So I got it. It's kind of funny. So, you know, typically in the morning, I just do some of my research and trying to kind of come up with angles and read different stories. And I saw your article in The Athletic, and it just simply says, you know, Magic Johnson, your favorite player. And I was like, all right, this is interesting, you know, because Magic is I spent some time earlier this week doing the greatest Laker of all time. And I play out all the different scenarios. But Magic was my favorite player. And yeah, as I'm reading your article, I'm connecting so much with kind of the way you were describing him and kind of as a kid and everything else. Why was Magic your favorite player?
A lot of reasons. I guess, you know, one being a kid from L.A. that's, you know, born late 70s.
Set everybody up, you know, and I thought that's what I appreciated most with Magic when he would, you knew when he was on the floor, just everyone became better. Everybody became more of a threat. And I actually always try and make the comparison anytime we're trying to compare some of these greats. I always say compare LeBron and Magic. Don't compare LeBron to Michael Jordan. Don't compare LeBron to Kobe. I thought Magic and LeBron, there's a certain presence they have when they're on the court, and there's a certain style they play with that at least is more similar than some of these other players. Would you agree with that or no?
Yeah, when the first time I saw LeBron play, I was in college, and he was like after his sophomore year of high school. The first time I saw him, I said, "That's Magic." I didn't see the Jordan. I saw Magic. Just the way he. His presence, the size, the way he set guys up. I said, if Magic Johnson was had a 40-inch vertical.
Right. By the way, how about that difference? That's the difference. The difference is LeBron just jumps through the gym, and, of course, we never remember Magic for doing that.
Yeah, you know, when I watched LeBron, I said, that's Magic. And it was kind of one of those things that you watch LeBron's career. People kept comparing him either to Kobe or Mike, and I'm like, he's neither one of those guys. I'm like, that guy's Magic. Mm-hmm. You know, when a lot of people didn't agree with me until you look at the numbers, you go, look, you know, he's leading the league in assists at age 35. I mean, that's LeBron's a point guard who can score. That's the way I've always kind of seen LeBron.
Yeah, and listen, I've said this, and I think it's fair. You know, Kobe's game was much closer to Jordan's than Kobe to LeBron or Jordan with LeBron. I mean, the style they played with, wanting the ball in their hands at the end of games to take that final shot. Not to say that Magic and LeBron didn't want the ball, but you'll remember Kobe and Jordan on a more similar plateau than you will if you try to compare any of these other players. Okay, I want to get back to Magic real quick. So you have in your piece. You talk about how when Magic announced his retirement because he had contracted HIV. And I know for me, I knew exactly where I was. I was at home. My parents' living room is actually the day after my birthday. My birthday is on November 6th, so November 7th was when the announcement was. I was crushed. And you kind of explained something similar. Where were you when that happened?
I was getting home from middle school, just watching TV. And you know, if you remember back when that was going on, I remember Magic missed a couple of preseason games. They said he was sick, and I thought, okay, just the preseason, it's no big deal. And then, as I watched the press conference, you watch it, it just completely, it's completely freaked me out, you know, at that age. I think I had, I was just barely turned 13. And, that's in that time, you heard HIV, you assumed, you know, the worst, and that, you know, in my mind at that age, I'm thinking my hero is going to be gone in weeks. Mm. And I just couldn't, you couldn't comprehend that. You know, just Magic, you watch Magic play so full of life, that smile, everything about Magic. You can comprehend that, not only was he not playing, but he was sick. And, and that just was, as a kid, that was too much for me to take. And, for days, I remember I'd go to school, kids would try to make jokes about me because they knew how much I loved Magic. And I was at school crying. I was at home crying. It was just, it was an emotional roller coaster, to go through, as a young teenager.
Yeah, and I think everybody kind of has a little bit of that story, and I think you explained it perfectly. At that time, you thought, everybody did. If you contracted HIV, the disease that eventually it's not going to be too much longer before that's it. You're not going to be, you're not going to be around. And here we are today, and Magic obviously alive and healthy and continuing to have incredible amount of success in the business world. So it's great to see that's the predicament that eventually played out. When you look back at some of your favorite Magic highlights, like what are the things that you remember most? And I certainly have a couple of my own, but what sticks out to you?
Oh man, I don't know where to begin. Probably number one is the baby hook in Boston. I remember being, in the kitchen watching that game on a little small TV.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanting them to beat the Celtics so bad.
Chick Hearn on the call. I mean, what's better than listening to Chick in the background of that? Yep, keep going.
Yeah, that's probably the number one memory that jumps out just because it was just such a, being a kid in L.A. and, you grow up, you hate the Celtics. And just, to win the game, to make the shot the way he did, that jumps out. And I have I could go on and on about a bunch of different memories. But some of the passes he made, I remember as a kid thinking he was mean to Vlade Divac. When Vlade was a rookie, he would get on him. I remember I even told Vlade, I thought Magic was mean to you. And Vlade was like, well, no, he wasn't being mean. He was being a leader.
Tough love.
And,
tough love.
Yeah, it was tough love. As a kid, you're like, man, why does he yell at the rookie so much? But, I just remember like a lot of those moments where he was teaching and helping and just, that probably the one play would be that shot in Boston. That would be the play where I'd say, yeah, that was the one that probably to this day jumps out at me the most.
Jason Jones from The Athletic joining the Sliwa Show here. Talking about Magic Johnson. Good article right now in The Athletic. Just so I understand, are you guys doing kind of pieces on different players and specifically, some of these different Laker players? Is that kind of the theme of what you guys are doing? Are we going to see more of other players?
It was more so just kind of, pick your favorite athlete and, kind of tell everyone why that was your favorite. And it was, and I was thinking, hopefully no one beats me to Magic because I know someone picked Isaiah Thomas and then somebody already claimed Isaiah, So it was more so just kind of, with all that's going on in the world, let's just tell some different types of stories.
Yeah, of course.
And it was a chance to, I think a lot, I cover the Kings, so I get enough grief from some Kings fans from being from LA. Mm-hmm. They all know I grew up a Laker fan, and until 2010, I was covering the NFL.
Mm.
So there was, my Laker upbringing never crossed over because I was covering the Oakland Raiders at the time. So when I got moved to the NBA, a very small but vocal part of the fan base let it be known I was not welcome because I hated them. And so I've had a few fun social media wars with them, but it was a chance to kind of explain to people, why Magic meant so much to me, how Magic led to me wanting to be in this business. Magic was more than a basketball player to me.
No, and that's, and I think that's why I kind of was relating so much to it. I definitely was relating. So have you ever met Magic Johnson?
I actually haven't. I think the closest I came was twice. Once at a preseason game in Vegas against the Kings.
Uh-huh.
He walked by when I was walking a different direction.
Yeah.
And I was so stunned that it was him. Like I said, he's probably the only person to this day that I'd completely be a fan over. Mm-hmm. And I was so surprised that it was him. He just kept walking, and I was like, And then a couple of years ago with Summer League, we're all waiting for the Kings coach, and he walked by. It might have been when Lonzo was still on the team. He walked by, mm-hmm. and I had a Dodger hat on. He gave me a head nod, and I gave him a head nod, and everyone's like, well, okay, make sure Jason's okay.
That's awesome.
But in terms
That's
of
awesome.
Actually meeting him and talking, mm-hmm. I've never done that. That needs to happen so I can kind of mark that off my bucket list.
Well, I'll end it with this. So I'm like you, you know, where Magic was my guy. I mean, that's the guy. I really, actually, why I got into sports just in general. I just started, you know, I loved watching him, and then, you know, kind of took it from there. And I started watching other sports after that. And but I got a quick Magic story for you. So there was this was a couple years back, but it was right when Magic got hired to basically run basketball operations for the Lakers. And I had seen him at a game, and I introduced myself to him, and I told him that, you know, I host a weekly Lakers show on 710 ESPN. And I left it at that, just something very simple. He's like, all right, great to meet you. Nice to meet you. Uh-huh. And then maybe 5-6 months later, I see him at the All-Star game. It was at Staples Center. He's walking in one direction. I'm walking in the other. And I just say a quick hello. And he looks at me and he says, he kind of looks for a second and then he stops and he goes, been listening to your show. Great job. Keep up the good work. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I told you this 6 months ago and you remembered. But that's – let me say something about Magic. That's how Magic is with everybody. Like, he makes you feel – special. Like, he's got an incredible, incredible memory. He does a great job. Like, those small things that a lot of people, you think of his stature, don't pay attention to, he pays attention to. And I think that has a lot to do with some of the success – that he's had in his life. But I'm sure you're going to cross paths one of these days soon. But I thought it was a great article, Jason. I appreciate you hopping on the show and sharing that stuff with us. All right, bud?
No problem. Anytime. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, Jason. That's Jason Jones right there from The Athletic. You know, I'm going to transition right from that to I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear. Shaquille O'Neal has his favorite playoff moment. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear it. But I'm going to play that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I kind of love going back when I see articles, and this is a time for it to happen, right? This is a time where a lot of The Athletic, Sports Illustrated, LA Times, there's a lot of great pieces and a lot of great publications that are going back right now. They're kind of reminding you a little bit of some of your favorite players, their favorite players. And when the Magic thing popped up, I mean, I'm telling you, for me personally, and I know, look, there's some Laker fans might be bitter at Magic just because of the way that relationship ended, and I don't blame them. That wasn't ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but I always look at Magic from a player perspective, and that was my guy. And to hear him, like I said, those little things, I think those little things really stand out to a lot of people. For him to remember, why would he remember me doing a show when I told him one time 6 months earlier? So I know that's special for someone like myself, but I think that's kind of, in a sense, what makes Magic. He's that person that lights up the room. You know, they say that he's got a smile. That started all the way back in the days when he was in high school and in college. Okay, so NBA had this great interview with Shaq as we kind of go back and reminisce. I got to play this because it's hilarious to me. So Shaq is talking about that Game 7 against the first championship Lakers had. This is prior to the finals. So Lakers versus Portland, they go 7 games. And Lakers are down 15, 16 points in that fourth quarter. This is a game at Staples Center. Here's Shaq talking about it. Phil Jackson calls a timeout, and here's how he describes back in the back on the sidelines.
I'm not playing well. Kobe's not playing well. Crowd's booing. Finally, in the fourth quarter, Phil comes in and says, all right, see you next summer. You had a great year. Shaq, MVP, great year. Proud of you guys, but we can't get it done. You just let these guys come in here and punk us. You guys don't want it. See you next summer. He was the type, he didn't really call a lot of X and O's during the timeouts. He would just say stuff that would just piss us off. And that's when the others really step up. That's why I always talk about others, because I always tell people, even though I have 4 championships, I could have had none of them without the others. So B-Shaw hit some big shots. B-Shaw Bob hit some shots. And we were already battle tested, so we didn't have any panic in us. We just were not playing well that day, but we just kept with it.
It just kills me when I hear that, because that sounds just like exactly what Phil Jackson would do, right? Why don't you guys have a great summer? Make sure you guys book your vacations now. Who's going to Cancun? You know, it's just such a Phil Jackson moment, the reverse psychology on all these guys. And then Shaq explains it from there. Here's Shaq explaining the Kobe Bryant crossover on Scottie Pippen to Shaq for really what ended up being the icing on the cake and was, I thought, the difference. That was kind of the moment where you knew the Lakers were going to win an NBA championship.
Bryant to Shaq!
That whole game, I was saying, hey, get to the rim and they double triple team you. I'm open. He said, okay. So when I saw him cross Scotty up, Bryant Grant was kind of leaving me like he was going to help Kobe, and I had to step, and he threw it up, and he actually threw it up too high, and I had to bok, 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 bok. I had to pull them wings out and go get that thing and throw it down. The famous shot was this right here. I was pointing to my son, Sharif. We didn't really talk much as a baby. We just giggled and played, and I chased him around. But before the game, he was like, Daddy, win. So after I got that dunk, I was pointing up to him. But I knew that play right there was the backbreaker for them.
All right, this is my – it was the backbreaker. Lakers would go on to win. And you would think – so think about – there's a question that came up is Shaq's favorite playoff moment. So you can easily say to yourself, okay, that's got to be it, right? That's his first NBA championship. That's when you knew Kobe and Shaq had a chance to kind of – go on a run. They would go on a run. They'd win three championships in a row. But that actually wasn't his favorite moment. Here's Shaq's favorite playoff moment, and that's obviously includes his entire career.
No, the favorite playoff moment is after we win the first championship. Watch and see who jumps in my arms. That's my favorite moment because, you know, the world thinks we're – but it has nothing to do with that. It has a lot to do with two alpha males not agreeing on stuff all the time. Me and you, we fight all the time, but we still boys. It's about the respect factor, though. Me and him went through so much of losing and getting swept and losing and getting embarrassed, and then for us to finally get there and get that moment and beat the Pacers. And I've never told anybody that, but that was probably my favorite moment. Him jumping in my arms saying thank you and me telling him thank you.
By the way, that's an iconic moment. You know, every Laker fan can relate with that moment, but it's iconic. You know, I love to hear that come from Shaq because it could have been so many different moments where, you know, he would think, no, no, this is – it's this moment because of this or it's that moment because of this. It was Kobe jumping into Shaq's arms. That was his favorite moment because it was both of them, you know. And I think, you know, think about Shaq, those three championships that the Lakers won. He was the most dominating player. Everybody knew he was the most dominating player. Everybody knew that there was no answer for Shaquille O'Neal, but what was most special for him is that he got to celebrate it with Kobe. You know, and I think that's big time right there. That's big time. And I think for us, from a fan's perspective, it's good to hear that kind of insight because you're right. All that chatter about Kobe and Shaq, they don't get along, this and that. And I think they've addressed that 100 times. But I think it's great for him to say not only was that his first championship, but he got to celebrate it with one of the greatest to ever do it as well at such a young age, which was obviously Kobe Bryant. Okay, so we got I want to kind of do this here as I promote and we kind of start wrapping up the show. I want to promote like we do all the time. Start tuning in tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m. Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, they'll be handling things and we'll stay all local. This has been, you know, kind of one of the great things that the station has done is even in times like this and we don't have live sports, we get a chance to, you know, continue to keep on doing what we're doing. So I know I'm definitely appreciative of that. So line up tomorrow, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, they'll start at 6 a.m. We'll go on after Mason and Ireland. I'll do crosstalk with Mason and Ireland starting at 6 o'clock, and then we'll go live at 6:30. So if you cannot, if you haven't listened to the full show, I want to give everybody just kind of some directions of how you're going to get it. Hop on the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Get every show. So every show that we do, if you miss any part of the show, miss any of the interviews that we did earlier today, you can always catch it on there. And then make sure from you know, Twitter and Instagram, I'm always putting things up that are setting up different topics and everything else. I want to say also too, we're going to keep doing this high school shout out. So if you have somebody there that you want to nominate, please do it every week or every day. This week we've done it, and we're going to do it all next week as well.
So Brady Cates, we did earlier for a high school standout from Palisades High School. We'll do it all week long. So please, please submit to be a part of that. Thank you to Bill Shaken from the LA Times. Thank you to Jason Jones from The Athletic. LA, as always, we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Jesse and Curtis, thank you as well. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, starting at 6 o'clock with Crosstalk. We'll start Sliwa Show starting at 6:30. Thanks for tuning in.